Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, I got an assignment for you guys. Homework assignment. I think you can come up with one good thing about the Blazers season.
That's easy.
I don't think you can come up with five. So let's try. Let's meet in the middle and let's do three. What are three things, legitimate things? I don't want Blazers fan bull crap of, well, I think Delano Banton showed that he has a future with this team. And no, don't give me that.
I can give you two things.
Do up, Reese. Man, I see a potential 2010 guy there. I don't want to hear any of that crap, all right?
Okay, one thing then.
I want three legitimate positives from this season. I want to see if we can do it.
Well, I'm on the Delano Banton bandwagon. I don't know about you. I'm being for real.
Like, somebody has to score 30, all right? Somebody has to score points for this team, okay?
It is not easy to get 30 in this league, man. So, but either way, I think the first thing, that the best thing that could have come of the season is I think we're seeing the number one pick in DeAndre Ayton. I think he's finally got to a point to where
You think that Ayton's success, especially in the second half of the season, is sustainable and something that we can rely on for multiple years?
Absolutely. I do. Like, here's somebody that showed you he can hit that free throw line extended jumper. He obviously, once he's inside and towards the middle of the paint, he is as dominant as anybody in there. He can block shots. He's shown you that he can be a defensive anchor and can also be your number one scorer on the other side, almost like a poor man's Joel Embiid, you know. So I don't really want him taking that 3-point shot, but I'm okay with it. The way he's played throughout, mind you, it hasn't equated to wins, but I think he's finally figured out what his role should be in the NBA, is to be a big man that can play big. And so I think that's the first thing that I would say. With all the losses and all the disappointment, DeAndre Ayton's maturation as a player. I think if Phoenix had this dude that he is now, when they made the finals back in, was that 2019, 2020?
I believe it was the 21 season.
Yeah,
so the one after the bubble.
So, yeah, so if they had this guy in that 21 season, they probably win that championship. But he wasn't that guy. But remember, end of the game, game two, three, four, whatever it was, that inbound play, who the dunk go to finish that?
Went to DeAndre.
Beautiful. So, like, I think Ayton could very well be the star that we've been looking for as far as somebody to put us over the hump with other guys coming back.
That's one.
All right, I got, like, one actually sort of good one and then one that's kind of bad but good.
A Blazers fan stretch, if you will?
It is not a Blazers fan stretch. It's actually kind of a glass half empty, but in the end, it's because I'm looking at the glass being half full, if that makes sense.
Well, there's only a couple drops in the glass right now.
You're not wrong.
I'll take a glass half empty.
All right, you know what? Let's start with that one. This season has exposed, so this is initially a bad point, this season has exposed Chauncey Billups as a terrible coach in the NBA, and finally given Joe Cronin and the rest of the front office a reason to move on from him. So I do think that this crappy season of coaching, regardless of the players, guys, he hasn't developed defense. They're still terrible. They don't effort on the defensive end.
Well, he clearly said when he got hired, I'm not much of a defensive coach.
Well, that's what they needed, unfortunately. And I'd rather have Scotty freaking Brooks, their assistant, running the sidelines at this point, because it's obvious Chauncey doesn't know what he's doing. I feel like that's been exposed, and it forces the front office's hands, okay?
So it's a negative turned positive. You feel like, hey, Chauncey's been exposed, and we can now officially move on from
him.
We can start over. And we can look somewhere else now,
yes.
For the love of God.
For the love of God. And the quick second positive I see is the time that the young players have gotten to develop on the court this year. Whether or not they've taken advantage of that fully, that's another argument to be had. But positive. They have had time. Rupert and Murray and Henderson and Duopri. I don't care that this player's not that great. What the point is they've had time to develop the young guys. So that is, in technicalities, a positive for this team, right? That's all I got.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'll accept it to an extent. This is also like to go on, like a Scoot Henderson tangent here, is that Devin Booker, when he was in Phoenix, the first 2-3 seasons, one of the things that he accredits to his success now is that he was thrown to the wolves early on in his career, that it wasn't let's hold him back. Let's try and build him in the gym. He played. He played a lot. He had to lead the team. He had to put the franchise on his shoulders. And the Phoenix Suns were garbage. Like, that's why they got the number one overall pick to get DeAndre Ayton that year, is because they were one of the worst teams in the league. I believe it was basically when they were, when they got to the bubble as one of the teams that invited, is like, that was when they were starting to show signs of, hey, maybe Phoenix can start being a competitive team in the league. But that was, again, 3 years after Devin Booker had gotten drafted into the league. So if you want to take, again, a negative and turn it into a positive, like, has it been a rough rookie year for Scoot Henderson? Yeah. We've heard that, obviously, teenage point guards that are drafted this high in the league, Danny Meringue has lamented this multiple times, along with a lot of other things with the Blazers season and why we need to look positively at that. You know, neither here nor there, but I think, especially with the way Scoot has looked in April, that is one thing where him, younger guys playing as much as they have, you're not going to get better by sitting on the bench and in the practice gym working on drills and fundamentals. Yes, you can get better, but to be a better NBA player in game action, you should probably play. And so, yes, these younger guys have gotten a ton of run, a ton of action against some of the league's best. And that is the one thing that going into the next season, you have the experience, all right? You're not like a deer in the headlights as a young player in the league anymore. That is the one thing that I will say, especially when it comes to Scoot. And you can, and this, I don't want to pull comparisons to other rookie point guards and rookie players that were drafted top three, top five over the years, because you can pick and choose, like, oh, wow, look at his stats compared to Russell Westbrook's first year. Well, also look at his stats first year compared to Michael Carter Williams, and we saw how that worked out for
Antonio
him, right?
Daniels.
Again, so we can pick and choose stats as there are. The one thing that going into next year is when it does come to draft class, and we know that this draft class is, or we don't know, we've heard that the talent is not nearly as great as what's available next year. So that's when I look at next season, is, are we looking at another bottom five record in the league next year to tank, to try and put yourself in a position to get talent in next year's draft? Because apparently it's loaded. It's not just Cooper Flagg. There's a few other guys. To quote Danny again, he was saying on Twitter that, like, you want to tank next year. Like, there's plenty of talent coming into the draft next year. So how good do you want to see this, or do you want to see this Blazers team repeat this? Maybe not this bad, but again, be in a position to be able to draft high, or do you want to see them fighting for a play-in spot? Because the Portland Trail Blazers, to be a winner, a consistent winner, top three seed in the West year in and year out, I believe that you need to get high-end talent in the draft, and the only way to do that is to be one of the perennial losers for 3-4 years. And so next year, I think you need to see improvements, but still in the bottom five of the league as far as record goes, to put yourself in a position to a high draft pick.
See, I don't – the way this NBA is going now, I don't know if the Blazers necessarily need to do that. I mean, seriously, with the healthy roster, which is the one thing we can say all year, the Blazers haven't really had. They've had spurts when they finally get all five guys healthy, but there's never been a lineup that included for multiple games.
The injuries, like the consistency of a lineup,
this entire Blazers squad.
Yeah.
So do I think that they would? Do I think they'd be this bad with Malcolm Brogdon and Shaden Sharp and
Robert Williams
and Robert Williams like as in a backup role? You know, at that point and DeAndre Ayton and
Matisse and Anfernee
and Simon. Do I think that they're going to be that? And then Scoot. The Blazers haven't been winning. But as a rookie, he's hit his stride, and albeit at the end of the season.
April's been great for him.
April's been great, but listen to these numbers. 20.6 and 6, 13.8 and 9, 22 and 10, 19 and 7, 15 and 8, 19-15, 18 and 12, 30 and 7. Like, he's figured out finally, like, this is how you do things. Now you add better players around him. I don't think that we're going to be in a repeat. I think they're going to be better the next year and play in if that's where it starts, because that's where it started for OKC. Let's just make the play in and let's see what's going on from there. Now we're talking about OKC having an opportunity to be the number one seed in the league the year after. It can happen, and I think this Blazers team is talented enough. The whole thing is, can they stay healthy and do they have the right leadership to Jordan's point to be able to move forward.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.